Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to ask you to take out, if you're willing, that picture this morning that's on the sermon insert. I'd like you to take a minute to look at it, and I'm gonna point out a few things in this picture. This is a picture of Joseph and his brothers. And we heard the last part of this story in our Old Testament reading today, Genesis chapter 50. So this is a picture of that account, Joseph here with his brothers. And you'll notice that there, Joseph, you can barely see it, but on the right side you see his throne is behind him. So Joseph was, if you remember, second in command in all of Egypt. And so he's, of course, in his royal Egyptian clothes. But he's stepping down from his throne, and you see embracing, giving a hug. Some of you will know right away who that is. That's Benjamin, his youngest brother. So hugging him, and then you see the rest of his brothers there in their bare feet, their rags, and he's reaching out his hand over them, showing them his mercy and his love and his forgiveness for them. And the reason I like this picture so much is it says, you know, what you hardly can even put into words, but we do have his words. And the picture goes right along with his words. He said, "Don't be afraid, brothers. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Don't be afraid, brothers. I will provide for you and your little ones." Now, I'd like, before you put that away, I ask you to do one more thing. For a minute, imagine taking Joseph out of the picture, and instead of Joseph, put in there Jesus. And this is not like some trick. This is actually very much true to life and true to fact, because Joseph is supposed to be a type of Jesus. And by type, we mean an image of Jesus or a foreshadowing of Jesus, a precursor to Jesus. So put Jesus in there, and it's just absolutely perfect. Here is Jesus stepping down from his throne, from the right hand of God, to embrace us, his brothers and sisters, in our rags and our bare feet, and to say to us, "Don't be afraid, brothers. What you have meant for evil, God meant for good. Don't be afraid, brothers. I will provide for you and for your little ones." I really like that picture, because that's what Jesus promises to us. And you know it. It's from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He promises that God will work all things together for good for those who love Him. Now, that's really hard to believe, but it's absolutely true. How does He do that? We don't know. Okay, how in the world can God take all the evil things of the world and work them for good? Well, sometimes we will never know. But it's true. How is God, for example, going to work this divorce for my good? I find that hard to believe, right? How is He ever going to do that? That's His promise. How is God ever going to work this depression that I'm suffering with? How could this ever be a good thing? I don't see how there's any good in this at all. Well, that's God's promise. How is God going to work this sin that I am so embarrassed and ashamed of? How could He ever work that sin of mine for good? Or this addiction of mine for good? I find it hard to believe. How is God going to work this sickness that I'm suffering with for anything good? Or this sickness of my spouse or someone that I love and care about? How can this ever be good? Well, like I said, we don't always know exactly how He's going to do this. But we trust Him. And the one thing that I really hope you'll see this morning is often the good thing that will come out of these evil things is that we have a chance to show mercy and forgiveness. That will often be the good that comes out of evil. And one of the best examples of this is, of course, Joseph. At so many points in Joseph's life, it absolutely seems impossible that God could do anything good from this. But at every point, He does. So if you try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes a little bit, imagine that you have 10 brothers. I know he had 11, but Benjamin at this point wasn't in on it. imagine you have 10 brothers that hate you so much that they are willing to do something that they know they'll never see you again for their whole life. That is pretty intense hatred. I mean, Joseph was in pretty tough place there. Now, most of us would say, well, yeah, I didn't always get along with my siblings, but man, that's pretty intense. To hate them that much that they were willing to see him live the rest of his life as a slave. And Joseph has 10 brothers that are willing to do that. Now, to be fair, maybe he has 9, because if you remember the story, Reuben, the oldest brother, tried to kind of keep them from doing this, but he was gone when they sold Joseph to these people heading to Egypt. So 9 at least that hated him with that much of an intense hatred. So how can God ever work this for good? And Joseph would have wondered that many times, just like you wonder that at times. Like when he's riding all the way to Egypt to be sold to Potiphar. What do you think he's thinking? How is anything good ever going to come from this? I'm never going to see my brothers again. I'm never going to see my family again. I'm going to live my life as a slave. How is this going to be good? Or like when Potiphar's wife, you remember, accuses him of raping her. And the normal punishment for that is death. How is anything good going to come out of this? Or then he's thrown into prison, right? And he interprets this dream for someone that's really important, but this guy just forgets about it. And he's sitting here in prison. How is anything good going to come out of this? Or when Pharaoh finally drags him out of prison and he has to interpret this dream of Pharaoh without getting himself killed, how is anything good going to come out of this? But it does, as you know, in Joseph's life, time after again, everything comes out for good. And then here, all of a sudden, one day, standing in front of him are his 10 brothers. Wow, what a chance for revenge, right? What a chance to get back. Here they are all asking him for food because they don't have any back in Israel. And here, right before Joseph's eyes, it's like it all finally just clicks. That here is the good that God has been working out of this all along. And notice that. He doesn't just click, here's my chance to finally get him back. Instead, it clicks, here's my chance to finally bring good out of all of this evil. God had used Joseph to save not only all of Egypt, but to save his own brothers that had despised and hated him. And eventually, it does take a minute. I don't want to act like Joseph was some perfect saint. It took him a little bit. But eventually, he opens his arms to them, embraces them, forgives all their sins, and God works all that evil for good. So in our epistle and gospel, some of those things we heard in there, just think about Joseph as I read you a couple of these things. Bless those who persecute you. That's Joseph. Never be conceited. That's Joseph. He could have said, well, I have every right, right? I have every right to punish you guys. Repay no one evil for evil. That's Joseph. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's exactly what he does. Here's his enemy. He's hungry and he feeds him. Be merciful as your father is merciful. Forgive and you will be forgiven. All of these things we see in Joseph. But of course, if that was it, that wouldn't totally do much for us, right? We not only see those things in Joseph, but we see them in someone else. We see them in Jesus. Jesus was also betrayed by his brothers, right? He had 12 disciples, and one of them hated him so much that he was willing to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and he did. But all of the disciples eventually abandoned him, and so did we, of course. We sold him off and betrayed him for death on a cross. And we look at that and say, how could God ever work such evil for our good? And this is a tough question. How could he ever work my sins that put him on the cross there for anything good? How could he work my greed for something good? How could he ever work my jealousy, my lust for something good? How could he ever work my arrogance for something good? Well, it all starts right there at the cross. That's where our evil is worked for good, in the mercy and forgiveness shown to us by Jesus our Savior. So understand that what I'm telling you. We're the evil brothers. We're the evil brothers of Joseph coming to buy grain from this Joseph that we put to death on the cross. And Jesus is the one there, like Joseph, with open arms embracing us and saying, don't be afraid. You meant it all for evil. Yep, you meant your sins for evil, but God meant it for good. And I will provide for you and for your little ones. I think these are some of the most comforting words in all Scripture. None of us here has anything that we need to be scared of. See, we've all done some pretty terrible things, just as Joseph's brothers had, and we deserve to be punished severely for it. And even some awful things have happened to us. But we don't need to be scared. We have someone much more powerful than Joseph, who was second in command in Egypt. We have someone more powerful than any earthly ruler. And he, at the right hand of God, is able to take all of these things and work them for our good. He can do it. And he most definitely will provide in every need. So I don't want to be generic. I want to be specific. So let me give you a few examples. What evils might we be scared of right now? Well, some of us, I know I've talked to a few of you. Some of us may be scared of the evil that we have in our Illinois government. It's kind of something that's right in our faces. Scared what's going to happen eventually to our state if we just run out of money and can't take care of ourselves. But don't worry. Jesus says, I will provide for you and for your little ones. He will provide. Okay, no matter what happens in the state of Illinois, here is Jesus, our Joseph, saying, don't worry, I will take care of you. Or some of us may be scared of the evil in our, not just in our state, but in our nation. Evil that says something like this. How evil is this? That we say it's okay, and you even must, give little children hormone blockers that will forever alter his or her life. The rest of their life will be altered, and you're doing this at a young age where they have no possible way of making a decision like that. How evil is that? And we're told that if we won't do it, we're going to face punishment. And we might say, how in the world can anything good ever come out of this evil? I have no idea. But I do know that Jesus stands here giving us a hug saying, don't worry. All things work together for good for those who love him. Some of us, and I know I've heard some of you say this, are scared not for ourselves, but we're scared of the evil that our kids are going to face, right? And we're scared right now of the evil they're facing with the thousands of temptations that they have to face every single day. But again, Jesus, hear his words again. I will provide for your little ones. And I know that's Joseph saying that, but it's really Jesus saying it. I will provide for your little ones. What Jesus will provide for you and me in every case, he will provide his mercy, his care, his forgiveness. He's always going to be there to take care of us and provide his word and his promise to us. And that goes very much, especially in the times when we can't figure out what he's doing. We can always trust in his mercy and forgiveness. Now, having said all of this, having said we don't always know what God will, how he will work our evil for good, and that's very much true. I also want you to know, though, in closing, that one of the most important ways God brings good out of evil is when you and I learn to forgive and show mercy to others. One of the greatest good that comes out of evil is when we can forgive and love those who have hurt us the most. So think about Joseph. Yes, there was a lot of good that came out of it. Yes, he was able to provide food for everybody. Yes, that's all fine and good. But one of the greatest goods, the reason we remember his story is not because he saved all of Egypt. We remember his story because he forgave his brothers. That was the greatest good that came out of it. And the greatest good, of course, that comes out of Jesus, our Savior, is our forgiveness and salvation. And so one of the greatest goods that will ever come from you and me is when we forgive. And all this stuff that Jesus was talking about, you know, we know these verses pretty well. He says, take the log out of your own eye. What is he talking about? That for you to be able to forgive your brother, you have to be forgiven for the log that's in your own eye. So one of the greatest goods that Jesus commands us to do is take the log out of our own eye through forgiveness, and then we can forgive the speck in our brother or sister's eye. Or Paul, if you want me to go to what Paul says, if possible, he says, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is a wondrous thought for us as Christians, that as much as we can, as much as it depends on us, we can live at peace with everyone by showing forgiveness. By when our enemy is hungry, feeding them. by when our enemy is thirsty, giving them something to drink. And this, Paul says, is how we overcome evil with good. And so finally then, if I can go back to that picture one more time, see where Joseph is in that picture and where Jesus is in that picture, that's also where you and I are. That's how good comes out of evil. When you and I get to stand in the same place as Joseph did, the same place as Jesus did, where we can be stepping down to others in humility, embracing them with the love of Jesus and saying, don't be afraid. Even this, God will work for good. And I forgive you. Jesus and Joseph and you and me, that is being merciful as our Father is merciful. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.